We're going to think about that passage in John 15. So if you haven't still got your Bible open in front of you, can I encourage you to do so? It was page 1063. And we're going to think about what Jesus is saying to us in that passage. It's all very well learning the verse, but we need to think about what Jesus is saying to us. I'll just let chaos sort out here. Right, guys, are you all right sitting down? Brilliant. It's great to see so many of you. Right, do you want to sit down? Cool. We'll carry on. Okay, so Jesus is saying to us, I am the true vine. If we look in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. Shh. Thank you. We know what a vine looks like, don't we? We've had that shown to us this morning. We know what grows on it. We know how it grows. And a good vine has a gardener to care for it, to cut off any dead branches and to do all that they can to grow as much fruit as possible. We said, didn't we, the successful vine has lots of fruit. And in verse 1, Jesus tells us that he is the true vine and that God the Father is the gardener. Gives us a glimpse into the intimate closeness of the relationship between Jesus and his Father. In the Old Testament, the vine was a picture to represent the people of God. And therefore, Jesus is saying something very important to us. We can only join God's people if we are in him, if we believe in Jesus. And of course, any decent gardener, so someone not like me, a decent gardener, would get the best out of their plant. I'm a terrible gardener, but I appreciate, therefore, even more the effects of a good gardener. They want the best. They want a vine, if they're growing vines, that produces an excellent crop of fruit. But a branch can't bear fruit on its own. If it's out of contact with the vine, it's lifeless. In verse 5, Jesus extends the picture of the gardener and the vine to include us. We are the branches, and branches on a vine are expected to bear fruit. Jesus makes it clear to us how we are able to bear fruit, and the key factor is to remain in him. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. We will be like a branch that's tossed away or picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. So it is really important that we remain in Jesus, that we trust him in all parts of our lives. But how can we have that close relationship with the vine, with Jesus? Well, we're told later on in the passage, if you look down to verse 13, that greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus showed us ultimate love by going to the cross. He did this because there was no other way that we could have a friendship and relationship with God. Think back a couple of weeks to John 14, verse 6, where we looked, where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible tells us that left to ourselves, we wander far away from God. We don't keep ourselves attached to the vine. Our sin causes separation from God, like a branch cut off from the vine. But God showed us his love by sending Jesus, who laid down his life, taking the punishment that we deserve through his death on the cross. Why? Because Jesus had such love for us that he desired that we could be friends with God, that we could be attached to the vine and remain in him with the certain promise of life forever in heaven. So to remain in him, we need to have put our trust in Jesus, to have asked him to forgive our sin, and to have made that decision to follow him in every part of our lives. That's what we call becoming a Christian. Then, from that moment on, we continue minute by minute, hour by hour, and day by day to live our lives trusting Jesus as branches attached to the vine, alive and healthy, producing fruit and experiencing the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, living to please him. But thirdly, if you look down to verse 10, Jesus tells us to remain in my love, giving us practical guidance as to how this can happen. We become attached to the vine by trusting him, but then we're to ensure that we remain there. Verse 10 makes it clear to us that to remain in the vine, we must obey Jesus' commands. And verse 14, further on, highlights this when he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Now this isn't a picture of some kind of harsh, dictatorial ruler demanding obedience in a way that might frighten us or scare us. Jesus explains that by obeying him, we are following his example. He demonstrated perfect obedience in his life to his Father, and in doing so, set a pattern for us as his followers to then obey him. This is Jesus, whose reason for us to obey him is so that we might remain in his love. What better reason could we have to willingly choose to live in obedience to him? Obedience will mean that we're like a healthy branch attached closely to the vine that is Jesus. But why does Jesus say these things? It's all very well to hear about remaining in Jesus and remaining in his love. Sounds great, doesn't it? Very nice. But why? Why should we do that? Every day we see around us plenty of images about what success supposedly looks like that definitely don't include anything to do with obeying Jesus. But Jesus had perfect reasons why we should remain in him and in his love. If you look at verse 8, he says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." By remaining in Jesus, by being attached to the vine, we will show by our words and actions that we are disciples of Jesus, and this will bring glory to God. Find another reason in verse 11, where Jesus says, "I have told you this so that your joy may be complete." Being part of the vine with Jesus is really good. It's not second best. It brings us a joy that makes us complete, not feeling as though we're missing out on something in life. There are plenty of things the world around us can offer us, like get-rich-quick schemes, the latest computer game or car technology, drink-fueled parties, an opportunity for celebrity status on reality TV. These have the potential to make us feel good at the time, but can so easily mess up our lives and don't give us that long-term, deep joy. Jesus knows what is best for us and how to get the most out of our life if we are prepared to trust him. In verse 16, the third reason why we should remain in him, because he has chosen us and appointed us that we might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. A good and healthy vine produces fruit. So if we are attached to the vine that is Jesus, we also will bear fruit, fruit that will last. This will be modelled in our lives as we seek to share the good news about Jesus.
Eight. So as Karen explained to us just there, if we want to bear fruit, if we want to be fruitful and successful for Jesus, we have to be rooted in him. We have to remain in him. Our lives have to be filled with him. We can't do it on our own. We need to depend on him for him to help us bear the kind of fruit and have the kind of success that God wants. But what does that look like? It doesn't look like apples and bananas and pears. What does fruit for God look like? Well, it tells us partly in verse 12. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Love each other as I have loved you. In this verse, Jesus gives us a command, love each other, and an example, as he has loved us. So in other words, to be fruitful, we need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Jesus to those around us. We need to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, live like Jesus, love like Jesus. What does it actually look like to be like Jesus in our lives, with our friends, with our family, with our colleagues, in our work and school environments? What does it mean to be like Jesus for those you live with and meet with every day? Well, in order to answer this question, I'm going to ask one of our members, Barbara Dunn, just to come forward. She's going to tell us a little bit about her work and about how she lives like Jesus in it with her colleagues and that she serves. Barbara. You can grab that one. There we go. So, Barbara, where do you work during the week?
Where are you situated?
In Westminster.
In Westminster Borough?
In Westminster Borough, in a primary school, and I'm the head teacher of that school.
Wonderful. Head teacher of what?
It's a Church of England school. It's called St. Luke's.
St. Luke's. Excellent. So you've got a lot of responsibility on your head. How do you actually live out your working day, your life? How do you live like Jesus? For your colleagues and maybe for the pupils that you serve?
I think for me, it's to display self-control. Every single day I have to display self-control because I meet a lot of people on a daily basis. And sometimes they are not always pleasant, but I have to be.
Is there any examples of that problem?
Okay, there's an example. I have a parent who... quite aggressive, quite annoying, gets into conflict with other parents. And I had to speak to him, and he thought I was being unfair, and he told me that I was the worst head teacher ever. And he stopped talking to me. So every morning, he would come to school with his daughter, and I would say, good morning, and he would glare at me. And every single morning for an entire year, I said, good morning. And then in July, he said, morning. And then a couple of days later, he went, good morning. And now he says, he calls me dear.
Wonderful. So living your life like Jesus in that situation actually brought fruit. It resulted in this man kind of turning the corner. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Barbara. Thank you for explaining that to us.
So there's a practical example of maybe how we can bear fruit in our lives, being like Jesus to the people we meet around us. Now, in our home groups, this current series we're looking at is called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And it kind of sums up what it means to be fruitful like this. So it uses a tree and it bears different fruit. The first fruit is modelling godly character. Jesus showed love and kindness and patience to everyone he met. He was full of patience and gentleness. Perhaps there's someone you work with or see at school or struggle who you struggle to love. We all know difficult people, like Barbara expressed there. Believe me, I should know. I am a difficult person. And being fruitful this week means showing love, being patient with difficult people, having that gentleness towards them when you feel otherwise, treating others as Christ would treat you and how he would speak to you. The next part, sorry you can't really read that, is good work, making good work. Perhaps sometimes you feel like giving up on your job, perhaps even just doing it enough and no more to stay employed. You're tempted to cut corners, clock watch, procrastinate, so long as no one's looking. We've all done jobs that can be tedious, tiring. Some sometimes feel like they've got no more point than to win the bread. But in those moments, remind yourself, you're not simply working for yourself, or for the government, or for the teacher, or your boss. You're working for Jesus. He has chosen you, it says in these verses. He's appointed you to go and bear much fruit. In your work, in your home, in your school, every moment of every day, you're representing him as his ambassador. So we work for him. So let's work for him with a desire to please God rather than man. The third point is minister grace and love. The world of work and education is increasingly all about achievements. If you fail to get all your A-star grades, you're seen as a great success. If you fail in your exams, someone will treat you like a failure. But Jesus isn't like that. See, we're all failures at obeying and loving God. But Jesus doesn't treat us like failures. He showed us grace. He showed us love. He died for our sins, offering us forgiveness, even although we didn't deserve it. So perhaps ministering grace and love might mean this week, if you see someone failing, if you see someone struggling, instead of laughing at them or treating them like a failure, get alongside them, help them, show them the kind of grace that Christ has shown you. Fourth point is moulding culture. Jesus said we need to be like salt and light in this world. And what he meant by that is our presence should change the world around us. See, if you're modelling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, people will notice. You'll be different in the way you act. People will notice and you will have an influence on them. You'll have an influence on how they behave. Perhaps Barbara's example of that, again, how that man changed the way he behaved because she was different. And finally, being a mouthpiece of truth and justice, speaking with courage. If we are serious about being fruitful for God, often that will bring us into conflict with the world. As we become more like Jesus, we'll see the wrong things in the world around us. And we're called not just to sit and be silent about that when we see injustice, but rather to speak out with courage. And that might cost you. Sometimes it might cost you. He's honest about that. But God promises to be with us and provide everything we need in those moments. Now, being from Glasgow, I'm no expert on fruit. However, everyone knows that when fruit's left itself, it rots. It biodegrades. If you leave a banana in a bowl for a couple of months, after it's got past the black phase, it'll then end to the smelly, mouldy phase, and eventually it'll just become a pile of brown soup. There'll be nothing left of that ripe, juicy banana that it started out as. And in some ways, it's the same with everything we do in this world. Everything disappears. Think about the great people of history, the mighty Roman Empire that ruled the world when Jesus was around. Where is it now? Where is its colosseums, its armies, its great leaders? It's not around. It's all turned to dust. Is anything that we do, all these good works that we're doing, is it any different? Is all this fruit that we're doing any different, or is it just going to disappear eventually? Will anything we do last forever? Well, it is important to remember that one day there'll be no more school. There'll be no more exams. There'll be no more hospitals or businesses or charities. No more work. One day there'll be no more Great Britain. No more Europe. No more planet Earth. One day this world will end. Which is why what Jesus says at the end of this passage is so totally incredible. It's what he says in verse 16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may bear fruit, fruit that will last." Nothing lasts except what we do for Jesus here and now on this earth. Because as we've been hearing throughout John's Gospel, for those who follow Jesus, this world isn't our final destination. We have a destination with God to look forward to. A new world, a better world to look forward to, that Jesus has gone ahead of us to make and prepare for us. See, living with this hope that we have of this better world to come, Jesus calls us to serve him now in this world, because what we do for Jesus now will last for eternity. So go and do all for Jesus. I've been at RLBC for 3 years now, but I'm sure some of you have been here for an awful lot longer. But I bet I can probably show you something in this building that you've never really noticed before. I want you to look at the ceiling. What do you see? It's actually a grapevine. It's running all the way around with grapes. Now, I can't tell you why the founders of the church chose to decorate the ceiling with grapes, but I could take a guess. I'm pretty sure they did it with this passage in mind. You see, when Rainers Lane Baptist Church was built, those very first members had a vision that this church could be like a fruitful vine, bearing much fruit for God here in Harrow, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, and all around the world as we send missionaries further afield. This is what we're called to do on this earth. This is the purpose for why we've been put here, to bear much fruit for God. Now, with that in mind, we're going to spend a bit of time praying.